Morning, can you all hear me? Brilliant. Now, I think you all did so well this morning. I think you deserve another round of applause for all the hard work you put in this morning. That was brilliant. And a big well done to all of your teachers as well for all that effort. I have been to Children's Day in my church and they don't sing half as well as you guys do, so you're brilliant. Now, I heard up here in Ballymoney that there's something in the air, you're all a wee bit smarter up here, so I thought I would put that to the test this morning with that higher IQ. So I thought we'd start off with a wee game this morning, okay? And it's going to come up on the screen, it's called Real or Fake. And so I have tore the internet apart, and what I have come up with are some photos, and I want you to look at them, and I want you to see if they're real or if they are fake. Some of them are going to be photoshopped or faked in some way, others are going to be real, and I want you to see if you can figure out for me if they're real or if they are fake and not really what they actually look like. So here comes the first one. It's going to come up on the screen. There's a picture of some polar bears. All looks pretty ordinary, doesn't it? Now, we'll do a show of hands. Put your hand up, congregation as well here. I want to see what the mum and dads think. Put your hand up if you think this photo is real. Who thinks that is real?
That's a bear.
No one. It is a bear, that's right. Now, who thinks it's fake? Okay, pretty overwhelming, pretty overwhelming. And you're all right, you're right. You see the polar bears here on the left-hand side? You see the way there's no reflection in the water? They're photoshopped in. They're exact copies of that one on the right-hand side. Okay, here's picture number two. Okay, this looks familiar, doesn't it? Who's seen the film Up on Disney? Anyone seen that before? I saw it recently, and it's a very good film. Now, who thinks that one is real? Only just one? And now, who thinks it's fake? I'm going to tell you what, that one is actually real. So what they did, a whole load of scientists in America and their students all got together and they decided that they're going to actually try and recreate the house from Up. And don't do this afternoon because your mum and dad might be a bit angry with you. But if you attach enough balloons to a house, it'll actually take off, and that's what they did. So that was what they spent one Sunday afternoon doing, okay? And now here is one final photo for you guys to look at. Here it is. That looks pretty, it looks pretty ordinary, doesn't it? Nothing too strange. Subway sandwich. Who thinks that is real? A few of you guys do, maybe a bit more divided. And then who thinks it's fake? You're right, it's fake. That is actually someone's birthday cake. And they got that made because somebody really loved a good Subway sandwich. And so they got this made for their birthday, and that is actually all made out of cake, okay? But I've got one final photo I want to show you, and this relates to what we're going to talk about in God's Word this morning. And this is a photo where things maybe don't quite look as they seem, because who's a football fan here this morning? Do we have any football fans? Let's see, lads, what team do you support? Man United. Well, here, your lucky day. This is a Man United football team off on the screen here. And there's a football team. This was all the way back in 2001, okay? So this would have been long before any of you were born. This was actually before I was born as well. That's how long ago this was. And this was the Man United team, and they were going out to play the German team, Bayern Munich, all the way back in 2001. And when you look at that, it all looks pretty normal, doesn't it? Doesn't look too strange. But who's really smart and can tell me how many players do we have on a football team? Does anybody know? Do you know how many? 11, that's right. And very quickly, who can count up the number of people we have in this photo? So there's 11 in the team. How many do we have?
12.
There's 12, actually, not 13. There's 12. So there's someone here who doesn't quite belong. There's someone here who not only isn't a football player, there's someone in this photo who has never played a proper game of football in their lives before, yet here they are about to come out and play for Man United. Sounds good, doesn't it? Dreams come true. He's about to come out and play in this Champions League match. But you know what? See this guy who the circle's round? This guy is called Carl Parr. And this is a job that maybe some of you might want to have. He is a professional prankster. And what his job is, maybe you already do that at home, he goes round and he gets paid by different people to show up and pull these different jokes on people, and he actually gets paid for doing it. So it sounds like a pretty easy way to make money, doesn't it? But this fella showed up to Man United one day, got inside the stadium, got himself a kit, made his way down the tunnel, got past all the different security guards, and made his whole way onto the pitch without anybody realizing who on earth this guy was. And you can see in this photo, we see the fella on the right-hand side there starting to look down. Maybe he's caught on that there's someone here who isn't meant to belong. But he made it all the way onto the pitch before anybody realized who he was. And you see, after this photo was taken, he quickly ran off, sat in the stands for the rest of the match, ran away, Man United then launched a manhunt for him to try and find out who he was. They found out who he is, and he's now banned for life from Old Trafford. So there's a Saturday well spent. But you know what? Over the next few years, Carl Parr showed up at a whole load of different places. You're going to see a picture here on the screen. He has played at centre court at Wimbledon. He has batted for the England cricket team. And he has also made it all the way on the F1 podium with all the racing car drivers and nearly got given a medal before anybody realized who is this guy. No one had a clue who he was. He is brilliant at faking it. And you know what? See, when you look at him there in all of his different outfits and all his different costumes, he is the master of disguise, isn't he? You look at him there and he doesn't stand out at all. He blends in perfectly, but he is brilliant at pretending to be someone he's not. And he is brilliant at faking it. And you know what? In God's word, Jesus spoke to us a wee bit about people who are like that. People who pretend to be something that they are not. People who maybe think they're something that they are not. We had it read for us this morning in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. It'll come up here. The Lord Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." Jesus is saying, there are people out there and they're not real Christians. There are people in the world who maybe look like Christians. They might dress like the way we do here on a Sunday. They might speak like a Christian and use all those words that we use from the Bible that we hear in church, all those fancy words. And they might even think that they are Christians. But you know what? The Bible tells us that there are a lot of people who think they're Christians, but doing all that stuff doesn't make you a Christian. It won't do enough. You see, there are people and they think that life is a bit like a checklist. Okay, here it comes on the screen. Now, here are things that are all brilliant to do, and there are some people who think that if you do all of those things, that will make you a Christian, okay? So, you're all here this morning. You've all been to Sunday school at least once, I hope, the whole year, unless you snuck your way in here this morning. So, and even older people, you've come to church, and that's great, but you know what the Bible tells us? That won't make you a Christian. Or you could be really well behaved, like all you guys are this morning. In school, you never give your teachers any bother at all. I don't imagine any of you would. You listen really well. You always put your hand up and you never shout out. All that stuff is brilliant. But again, that won't make you a Christian. Or you could obey your mum and dad. And maybe there's a few parents who maybe know the true story here at home today. But when you go home and your mum and dad tell you to do something, they want you to tidy your room or do all that kind of stuff, you just do it. Never ask any questions, you're never cheeky, and you're a brilliant son or daughter. And when your mum and dad come home from work, you've got a three-course dinner made for them, ready to go. You're brilliant at home, but that won't make you a Christian either. Or what about giving money to charity? That is a brilliant thing to do, isn't it? Who doesn't like giving money to charity? It's a great thing to do. And in your non-uniform days in school, for example, you'll give a few pounds to charity, yeah? But again, that won't make you a Christian. Or you could be a really good friend. In school, you work really hard, you're always there for your friends, you help them out with things, and all of that stuff, if we can tick everything off that list that we see there, you know what we'll get? See that big X? It's not enough. We can never do enough. See, we can tick all the boxes we want. We can try and be the kindest, most helpful, most pleasant, nice person that anybody could ever meet, but that won't be enough for us to be a real Christian. And if we trust in all that stuff that we tick on the list, if we do all that stuff and we think that'll get us into heaven, Jesus will say to us, "I never knew you, depart from me." That's what he'll say. You see, there's a verse that you guys will most likely have learned in Sunday school at some point this year. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, really well known. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And you know what that means? Every single one of us, no matter how hard we try, we can never make ourselves good enough for God. We can tick off all the things that we saw on that list. We can do all that we want, but it will never quite be enough for us to make our way into heaven. You see, we might be so good, and we might be so well behaved. We might be on the outside, everybody thinks we are perfect, but God knows us on the inside. Other people may look at you and they may think, "You're definitely a Christian. You must definitely trust Jesus." But God knows our hearts, and he knows whether or not we've actually ever done that. And we know that Jesus knows our hearts because he met some people when he was down here on earth, and we read about them in the Bible. The first one you're going to see on the screen here, this is a fellow who was a rich young ruler, okay? And he had two things. He had a lot of money, and he had a lot of power. So who thinks that sounds good? Lots of money, lots of power. You want that job, yeah? It sounds pretty good. And this fella, when he met Jesus, everybody would have thought he was great. Because look at all the stuff he did. He ticked all these lists. He kept all of the Ten Commandments, or so he said. He would have been really well behaved. He would have prayed. He would have prayed every day, probably more than once. He would have went to church. He would have given money to other people to help them out. He would have been brilliant. But you know what Jesus told him? He said, despite you doing all of those things, you're lost. You're not a real Christian. You're not saved. You can do all those things all you want, but that won't be enough. And then we met another man. Here he comes, Zacchaeus. Now, who can tell me anything about Zacchaeus? Does anyone remember anything about him? What do you remember? He went into a tree because he was really small. He was smaller than I am now, and that's saying something. But one time, Zacchaeus couldn't see Jesus. He wanted to go and see him, so he went all the way up into a tree to see Jesus. And when Jesus spoke to him a little later on, we found out this fellow wasn't really that good because he didn't keep any of the commandments. He didn't pray to God. He never prayed. He didn't give money to other people. In fact, he stole money from other people, and he would have lied about it to make himself richer. So he did that, and he wouldn't have gone to church. But you know what happened? See, despite all of that bad stuff that he did, he was able to become a Christian. He had nothing good going for him at all, yet he was able to become a real Christian. So we had this rich young ruler who did all the right things but wasn't a Christian. And then we have Zacchaeus, who did nothing right at all but was still able to become a Christian. And so it just shows you that it doesn't matter how much we try. It's all about Jesus. And you know what? The good news is, boys and girls, although we can't do anything ourselves, Jesus told us exactly how we can become a Christian. Because he met a man called Nicodemus. There they are. And Nicodemus had a very important job. He was called a Pharisee. And what his job was to do, he had to make all the rules for people to follow, and he then got to tell everybody how you've got to keep all these rules. He would have went through the whole Bible, he would have read everything from cover to cover, and he would have thought, I need to do absolutely everything that this book tells me to do. And you know what? Just in case I get a wee bit distracted, I'm going to make a few extra rules on top of what the Bible tells me to do, just to make sure I don't go wrong. And people would have thought, surely if anybody is going to go to heaven, it'll be Nicodemus. This guy's great. He does all the right things. He keeps all the rules. But you know what? Jesus told him, that won't make you a Christian. That won't mean that you're going to be saved. But Jesus explained to him exactly how to become a Christian. And he explained to him that you need to come to Jesus. It says in John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus says to Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say to you that unless one is born again, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says to Nicodemus, unless you put your trust in me, unless you ask me into your heart to forgive you for your sins, you won't be a Christian. It doesn't matter how many rules you keep. It doesn't matter how good you are. That won't be enough. You need to be born again, Nicodemus. And that doesn't mean going all the way back to becoming a baby or anything like that. That means inviting Jesus into your heart. That means asking him to forgive you for your sins. Tell him that you're sorry for all those things that you've done that are wrong, and that you want him to be your friend and to be your savior. And that is the only way that we can be born again. And this is something that's for everybody here this morning, whether or not you are one of the boys and girls, whether or not you're a parent or somebody else here this morning. This is a choice that each and every one of us have to make. Whether or not you're going to accept Jesus as your savior, if you're going to ask him for forgiveness for your sins, or if you're going to ignore the problem, and if you're going to pass it by, and you might never have another opportunity to ask him for that forgiveness. That's the choice between all of us today. But you know what? How we come to Jesus is really straightforward. It is as easy as A, B, C. Here it is. You've got the A, accept that you are a sinner. Accept that we have done wrong and that there's nothing we can do to fix it ourselves. And then you've got to believe in Jesus. You've got to believe that he loves you, that he died for you, and that he wants to save you. And then you've got to see, come to him. You've got to come to him, tell him you're sorry for all the wrong things that you have done in your life and that you want his forgiveness. And you know what? Jesus makes us a promise in the Bible that if we do that, if we accept, we believe, and that we come, he will forgive us. He won't turn us away or cast us out. He will forgive us. And so if you do all those things, boys and girls, you will know that that way you are a real Christian. You won't have to pretend that you're a Christian or think you're a Christian when you're not. You really can be born again. And so I would encourage all of you, everyone who's here this morning, if you haven't done that yet, come to him today. Pray to him, tell him you're sorry for your sins, and he will come into your life, and you can be born again and be a real Christian. So thank you so much for listening. It has been a joy to be with you today, and I'll hand back now to David. Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew, for your word this morning to the children.